With nearly 5,000 specialists dedicated to supporting dealer financial services, Ally has the expertise to help you with your retail finance, F&I, and remarketing needs. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, GM posts an encouraging earnings report. Stellantis cuts almost 200 jobs at a key plant, and Kia adds a big incentive on its biggest electric vehicle. Speaking of EVs, we'll dig into the latest registration numbers with our own Lawrence Iliff, who talks about the effect steep discounts are having on the market.
That's where people get really excited. People say, no, I don't want an EV. And then you say, how about 35 grand? And they're like, oh, I'd love one. Thank you.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
General Motors is reporting a 24% jump in first quarter net income. The Detroit automaker saw strong vehicle demand and raised its profit forecast for the rest of the year. GM said net income rose to $2.9 billion in the quarter. Global revenue increased 7.6% to $43 billion. Adjusted earnings before interest and taxes, also known as EBIT, grew 1.8% to $3.9 billion. North American pre-tax profit climbed more than 7%, while revenue improved almost 10% to more than $36 billion. GM says that's a first quarter record. As a result, GM raised its full-year guidance for adjusted EBIT by $500 million to a range of $12.5 to $14.5 billion. The automaker also upped its net income projection by $300 million to between $10.1 and $11.5 billion. Meanwhile, GM's captive finance unit, GM Financial, reported a drop in net income of more than 8% to $536 million. The lenders said lease originations in the first quarter rose more than 9% from a year earlier to $4.3 billion, while retail loans fell roughly 8.5% to $8.3 billion.
Stellantis is laying off 199 full-time workers at its Sterling Heights assembly plant that builds the Ram 1500 in suburban Detroit. Layoffs took effect Monday as the automaker continues to trim its headcount. It is the latest in a series of cuts that have touched hourly, salary, and supplemental workers since UAW members ratified their contract with Stellantis in November. Stellantis cut about 2% of its U.S. engineering, technology, and software jobs last month. It cited, quote, unprecedented uncertainties and heightened competitive pressures around the world. U.S. sales of Ram pickups were down 15% in the first quarter. The freshened 2025 Ram 1500 is rolling out now.
Kia America is offering buyers of its three-row EV9 a $7,500 incentive to nudge vehicles off dealer lots. The incentive matches the amount buyers recoup from a federal tax credit on electric vehicles that meet North American assembly requirements. The EV9 has a starting price of around 56 grand, but it's not eligible for the federal incentive because it's imported from Korea. The deal drops the price tag to less than $49,000, a figure more in line with the transaction price commanded by its top-selling Telluride three-row crossover.
And every car owner knows the total costs go far beyond the purchase price. A key factor is spending on maintenance and repairs, especially as the vehicle gets older. Consumer Reports asked members in its 2023 annual auto survey how much they paid out of pocket for maintenance and repairs during the previous 12 months. In comparing cumulative costs by brand, CR found that Tesla had the lowest maintenance cost, followed by Buick, Toyota, Lincoln, and Ford. At the opposite end of the spectrum, Land Rover and several German automakers are clustered as the most expensive, namely Audi, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and Porsche. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, Stellantis cutting more jobs this week. It seems like Stellantis has done a lot of consolidation. I mean, it's a big company with a lot of brands, but do you think we'll continue to see more job cuts?
Kind of looks like it. You know, the sales have been under pressure, and we've heard, you know, from people familiar that they have more cuts that they want to get done. We saw 400 out of the headquarters before. We saw 200 here out of Sterling Heights. Sounds like they're going to keep making some smaller moves, maybe without the trauma of filing a WARN notice and, you know, putting out a press release with thousands of job cuts in it. But clearly looking to save some money to help pay for the EV transition.
Gotcha. Coming up, we'll look at the latest EV registration numbers, which were dragged down by Tesla's unfortunate month in February. That's next on Daily Drive.
For over 100 years, Ally has helped dealers like you serve your customers by providing the best-in-class products and services you need, and by remaining true to the automotive passion we share. Your dedicated Ally account executive will work hand in hand with you to help you gain efficiencies, increase your product offerings, and work to improve per vehicle revenue, because we care about your business as much as you do. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. The headline looks bad for true EV believers. Total EV registrations fell almost 3% in February, and electric vehicles' share of the U.S. light vehicle market actually fell almost a full percentage point from a year earlier, from 7% down to 6.2%. But the unhappy results were driven largely by one company. Tesla's deliveries dropped by a quarter in February. That's while several legacy automakers saw decent gains in their EV sales, as many offered deep discounts on their electric models. Lawrence Iliff covers Tesla and publicly traded EV startups for us at Automotive News. He joins me now to talk about all of it from his home office in Silicon Valley. Lonnie Iliff, welcome back to Daily Drive.
It's great to be here.
Well, the streak is over. In February, for the first time since the summer of 2020, COVID summer, we saw new EV registrations in the U.S. fall, including new Tesla registrations, which plunged by 25%. Of course, there's quite a lag in the registration data, and we had already seen that Tesla had a pretty disappointing first quarter, but it was still kind of shocking to see after these last couple of years of blazing growth. So, Lonnie, Tesla is reporting earnings on Tuesday, today, after the market closes. What are you looking for?
You know, I think if you look at those, you know, those first quarter sales numbers, the global, which are also reflected in the U.S., if you look at the registration data, it's even worse, perhaps. I think that it's going to be a wake-up call for Tesla, and I think that's what everybody's preparing for, right? It's like, okay, you had a big streak, you sold a bunch of cars, you got the early adopters, you cut prices, you have lease deals, you know, and now people are, they're still buying them. Let's not pretend that people aren't still buying Teslas. They still are buying them. It's just the numbers are negative for right now, and they're not growing. So they're at a crossroads, and it's going to be fascinating to see what happens on the earnings call, right, after the numbers come out. The numbers are probably not going to be great. You know, that's already, the stock's down, right? People are anticipating, you know, not great number in terms of profit and everything. But it's going to be interesting on the call because Elon Musk is going to say, we think, what's the future? Is it volume, which was what you guys said you were going to do until you got up to 20 million a year by 2030? Or now is it autonomy, right? Bigger margins, you know, bigger growth, kind of a moonshot. You know, he's a rocket guy anyway, right? So what's the Tesla moonshot? Autonomy, robo-taxis, you know, you walk outside, there's, you get in your robo-taxi, you go, it's, you know, as cheap as taking the bus, he said at one time. So
right.
That's what we're all looking for.
Or a Model S that'll pay for itself because you can let it go out and robo-taxi people when you're not using it.
Absolutely. It's interesting. Elon Musk just retweeted recently the Autonomy Day presentation from 2019, in which he said, if you're a Tesla owner, you might be able to make about $30,000 a year. You put your Tesla car into the Tesla network, which takes 25 or 30% off the top, but then you make money for sitting at home and having your car drive around. I mean, that's what he said, right?
Yeah, yeah. So let's go back to the registration numbers. It really hit on their mass market vehicles, their biggest sellers, the Model 3 and the Model Y.
Yeah, it, you know, if you look at kind of the trajectory of, let's say, the last 12 months, right? February 2023 was the first full month of the $7,500 tax incentive applying to Tesla, right? They lost eligibility in 2020 because they sold so many cars. Now they had it back. And then you had some price cuts on top of that. And so, you know, there was a big kind of, even like maybe the first 6 months of 2023, Tesla had a bunch going on. But then also Ford, you know, had the F-150 Lightning that was kind of cruising along. The Mustang Mach-E had been out for a while, but there were some price cuts there too. Ioniq 5, Ioniq 6. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, interesting things going on for people with money, right? A little more affluent consumer. And then those people bought their EVs, right? And so if you look at the growth rates, it was like 70% EV growth rates, like in the first part of 2023. Then it cooled down to the 50s, let's say, in the summer. I'm talking roughly. And then by December, it was down to 23%. And then January this year, 15%. And then negative 25. I think the negative 25 is what's a shock. I kind of expected more like, you know, 2-3-5 on the plus side or 2-3-5 on the negative side. But that Tesla Model 3 just fell off the map, right? They lost their tax credit. They're not really discounting it. They have a freshened model. But the Model Y lost a little bit of ground too. And that's kind of a shocker.
Yeah, especially at the prices it's at now. It was a pretty surprising.
Yeah, I mean, if you did the math in February, anyway, that's the month we're talking about, with the inventory discounts of $3,000 and $4,000 and the $75,000 on top, I mean, you have a $37,000, $38,000 Model Y, and that's an incredible price. It's a very good vehicle for that price.
It's like 40% off from how it hit market.
You see people online that said, I bought mine for $68,000. And now they're, you know, 38, right? Now, those are a little bit different models because the base didn't exist when people bought it 68. But still, let's say, you know, people bought it 58 and now it's 38. Still a big gap.
So Tesla was down 25%, but the overall market was down like 3%, 2.8. Not everybody was down that much. Who had a good month?
Well, you know, there's kind of this second tier, and I only mean second tier in terms of the rankings, not second tier in terms of quality or goodness. But, you know, Ford was up 84%, Hyundai 54%, Kia 58%, BMW 166%, Rivian 56%, you know, Mercedes-Benz 62%. So there is kind of a half dozen or so other brands that are still growing from a smaller base. They have lease deals, they have some price cuts, and they invested a lot of money in these products. They got to keep it rolling, right? And so we've seen Automotive News recently reported that I think EV incentives were about 6,000 on average, right? And so, you know, there's a big effort to move these vehicles, and they are very good vehicles.
Yeah, I do worry that some of those numbers, partly they're off of a low base in some cases, but also, you know, like Mercedes has had, it's even, and Ford as well, I think they've had some vehicles sitting around for a long time, put some big discounts on them to get them moving out. The higher sales numbers don't necessarily mean it's a growth in demand. It's more like what Tesla was doing last year, bringing their prices down to move the metal. So definitely some puts and takes in the market.
Absolutely. I mean, they're discounting them, but that gets to what our analysts are telling us is that people do want EVs. They just want them less expensive. They want EVs to cost what hybrids or gas vehicles cost, right? You can get a lot of compact crossovers for, let's say, a 35 base and you end up at 40 because you add some stuff, right? Or 38, whatever. You know, the RAV4 and Hyundai products, everybody's got one, right? Whether compact or midsize. And, you know, Ed Kim at Auto Pacific, who's quoted in our story, you know, basically says, that's where people get really excited. People say, no, I don't want an EV. And then you say, how about 35 grand? And they're like, oh, I'd love one. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so the Chevy Equinox is coming. Kia's got some less expensive products. You know, Hyundai, I think, you know, Ed Kim was talking, you know, we may be a year, 18 months, 2 years away from maybe a place where EVs are priced mainstream. And once they're priced mainstream, they'll get mainstream customers. Because right now it's still kind of the affluent early adopters and we kind of haven't moved on, you know?
Yeah, not a lot of new product this year. There's affordable models like the Equinox that we've all been waiting for, you know, are still waiting. And I think new models, new product is going to help a lot. I also suspect that some of those people who are on the fence, who are wary about some of the lifestyle challenges of EVs, are holding off until the mainstream brands have the next plug, the Tesla plug. Not that they can't already use the Tesla chargers, but it'll just be a lot easier for them if they don't have to carry around an adapter and worry about that. I think having that ready made for them. And then, as you mentioned, the interest rates, which really, Elon Musk has been talking about it for a year. It's made cars just a lot more expensive.
Absolutely. You know, I know people who bought cars recently, they're getting about 6%, you know, with excellent credit scores. You know, that's a big number when you're buying a $50,000 car or something like that. And I think, you know, it's just going to take a little time. Interest rates need to come down. They need, you know, the product. The next plug, you know, is complicated. The tax break is complicated. It's just a lot to digest. If you're looking to buy an EV right now, you're looking at leases, the next plug, you know, charging, range. It's just kind of a lot to take in. And I think customers just need to absorb that. But I think, you know, once we're kind of over this difficult period right now, I think we will get into mainstream adoption. And I think we will get to those big growth rates and we'll go from 8% adoption or whatever about what we are now. We'll get into the teens. And, you know, California's at, you know, 21, 22. And I think there's a lot more people who would like to buy an EV in California if the price was right. And I think, you know, Florida, California, New York, I think there's a lot of kind of low-hanging fruit once some of this is sorted out.
Well, it's going to be a long-term story, and we know you'll stay on top of it. Lonnie Iliff covers Tesla and other well-funded EV companies for us at Automotive News. Lonnie, thanks again for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News executive producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Lindsey Van Hulley, Paige Hodder, Vince Bond Jr., Carly Schaffner, and Wes Rainoff for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on EV registration data, the latest earnings results, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a conversation with venture capital investor Alexei Andreev, managing director of Autotech Ventures, about AI's potential in the auto industry. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.